to find in the morning papers. It's hard to find in the magazine. It doesn't matter what show you tune in. It's hard to find on TV screen, but it's on the radio. Truth is on the radio. And you wanna hear it straight.
Give it to me straight.
Little place to find all the answers. AMFM Shortwave Talk Radio.
For you folks down here in Austin, Texas, by the way, this is the second hour of the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Statton. The date today is the 10th of July, 2006. Okay, now that I got all that out of the way. You folks down here in Austin, Texas, if you want to hear the Michael Collins Piper with Samuel Danner tonight, that's at 7 p.m. And for you folks down here in Austin, that's 96.3. You can hear that program there. For the rest of you down here in Central Texas, I'm sorry if you don't have a shortwave or you don't have internet. You can go to rbnlive.com and tune into the program. Or if you've got a shortwave radio, 12-180, and that'll be at 7 o'clock, 7 p.m. Central Time for Michael Collins Piper's program. Okay. Alan in Texas, anything else for our guest today? Well, yeah, well, you know, there's a myriad of questions about who was on these planes. 19 hijackers. You know, they told us who these hijackers were. Nine of them, thank you, Chris, nine of them turned up alive and well on planet Earth. So that kind of puts a hole in the story as to who hijacked these planes. Another question about who was on these planes. These are wide-body jets. These were transcontinental flights. Why were they not filled to capacity? I've been flying on airlines for quite some time. They've been cutting back on service to try to save money because every minute that that plane's either in route or sitting on a tarmac getting reloaded, refueled, and put back into service, time is money to these people. So why was there only 30-35% capacity on these planes? Another thing that I have, these wonderful cell phone calls that were recorded and put out by the government. You know, movies made about these heroes and this, that, and the other. Well, I still have a problem with that cell phone theory. So, I mean, we can go on about that. You know, to ask where these people are, I don't even know that they were actually real to begin with. And if there were real people on there, what they were told, I don't know. Why they haven't come forward? Are they all part of the grand conspiracy? I don't know that they were even there in the first place. So,
good point.
You know, I mean, we won't know until we can start getting to the people that can answer these questions. And the only way that this is going to happen, you know, we can sit out here and pound sand all day long. We can fire question after question, but we're shouting down a rain barrel and we're not getting anything back.
Right. What we really need is we need more people like Sam Danner, if he's who he says he is, if he's really an eyewitness. We need more people like that, eyewitnesses, to come forward.
Sure.
And damn the torpedoes. And tell us what they saw and what they know. But they, you know, they've got this system-wide gag order, which is silencing all the FAA employees and all, you know, government employees.
Well, and there is a myriad of questions out there, well thought out questions. And let me go back here for a second here to our friend Ben Parton. I just, for the life of me, you know this guy pretty well. I've had numerous conversations with him. What is he saying? Is he sticking by that story that the aluminum just vaporized because it hit at such an impact?
Yeah, he's a friend of mine actually, and he's saying that. He's saying that it was that the aluminum basically vaporized on impact, causing that bright flash, and that the aluminum fuselage acted like a cookie cutter and pierced through the walls in the Pentagon.
Ooh.
And it was spread by the New American magazine by one of the John Birch Society people.
Right. Okay, hold that thought. We'll be right back with more of your calls with my guest today, Christopher Bolin. We'll be right back.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of Choice Garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN Network.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Can't You Bend Satellite is here. RBN is now offering a brand new way to hear your favorite programs. Listening to RBN via satellite is easy on the ears. Clean digital audio combined with consistently reliable reception anywhere in North America. KU utilizes a 30-inch dish and receiver similar to the equipment the subscription satellite TV services use. In fact, this satellite receiver also picks up a lot of television and music channel programming, even other talk radio networks. All of this with absolutely no monthly subscription fees, ever. Take advantage of our introductory offer and order your KU dish receiver today for only $149 plus shipping and handling, and begin enjoying our highest quality audio available 365 days a year. Visit our website, www.rbnlive.com, for more information, or call 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Clean, consistent, and affordable.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stachmiller.
We are back. Let's go back to the phones here. I don't want to keep you people waiting too long. Nikki in Texas. Hello, Nikki. Yeah. Well, I'm wondering if it's not the same C-130 pilot that Grandpa Stan called in about. I don't know. I don't know. It very well could be. We lost a caller? He just faded off into nothing. Okay, caller, I'm sorry. Nikki, we lost you. If you were on a cell phone, you just faded into nothing, my friend. Chris, you still there?
Yeah. Okay. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, like our friend Sam Danner says that he saw a four-engine plane at 15,000 feet, which he said he identified as a 707 or a DC-8. But it may be a C-130. And the important thing about that C-130 is that could have been used unwittingly as one of these transmitters, because, you know, these Global Hawks are positioned by satellite and other planes. And that plane may have been necessary there or used to help guide this Global Hawk. If it was a Global Hawk, it would be one of the bounce relay stations to have a good view of where this thing was going.
Well, my question is what military, what from the government's position, their information, when are they saying, Chris, that the first aircraft that they had command of showed up around the 9/11 issue, whether it was Twin Towers, Building 7, Pentagon, Shanksville, whatever? What are they saying? And if we've got military airplanes in the sky and we had NORAD standing down, what were they doing there?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, I know about the NORAD, the responses to the NORAD, about the NORAD interceptor fighters. We have three different versions given to the same congressional committee. That's why it's so problematic. I mean, I've written about that. They give three different speeds. They give, you know, this is from the Otis Air Force Base out in Cape Cod, intercepting the New York flights. This is the whole question, you see, and that's why I've written so much about what I call the computer scam, is that because there was a breakdown in communications between FAA and NORAD, and this is where we get into these Israelis who control cybersecurity for the Department of Defense, people like Amit Yaron. And this is where I think the fundamental breach occurred, and that is that Israeli Mossad software is now running on these military computers, and I think that the communications were intentionally miscommunicated, and that's what facilitated this whole attack. You understand that the United States was doing, that the military was doing these, you know, these various games with planes being hijacked and decoy planes and secondary planes, what have you. And these kinds of things often happen in the context of a military operation, which is basically hijacked. Well, hijacked by whom? It's hijacked by people who have access to those most sensitive military computers.
Right.
That's what I think happened.
Questions, questions, questions. I'll tell you what, let's go back to the phones here. Bill in Texas, and caller, we had somebody call into the network and said that they could not hear the last two callers that called in. So evidently they were just hearing you talk, Chris, and myself talk, and weren't hearing the callers. So I don't know what's going on with that, but let's try this again. Bill in Texas. Hello, Bill.
Yeah, I just wanted to say again, John, that if that was a 757 that flew into the Pentagon, it should have completely blotted out all the background buildings and trees that you see in the photographs that they have released already. And one other thing, weren't there pictures that they released to the public of the people scouring the lawn?
Yeah,
maybe the gentleman you're bringing on might be in one of those pictures.
Well, he may be, but the pictures, and Chris, I know you've seen hundreds of these pictures. There is... looking at this, if I flew in from another planet and somebody parked me in front of a computer or showed me pictures or whatever the case may be and tried to have me explain what that was, I couldn't say that a 757 hit the Pentagon. There was not the debris field. There was a lot of fuel, especially from transcontinental flights. I mean, half of that lawn and that Pentagon should have been burned up. There was equipment, spools of wire, you name it, that was sitting in the vicinity of that should have been charred beyond belief or at least recognition. There's just too many things that point to no, it was not a 757 and hit the damn building. I mean,
exactly.
You know,
but the buildings and the trees and things that are in the background are still there.
Yes,
that's just simple geometry to go out there and find their height or. I think it's Jimmy Walters' side. He's got some good computer graphics, but none of them are taken from the port side of the plane. They're all from the starboard side, you know, where you can't see the background.
Well, if anybody has any sway over Jimmy Walters, tell him to stay off of the global warming issue and tell him to stick with the 9/11.
Okay.
All right, thanks.
Thank you a lot. Bye.
Appreciate your call. Chris in Chicago. Hello, Chris. Go ahead. You're on the air.
I have a question about Sam Danner.
Yeah.
Why was it that he pulled over initially? He said that he pulled over before the plane had even approached.
Right. Good question. He said in the conversation to me and also to Eric, I think he said it, that he noticed that there was There were people looking up. He saw an object in the air. He saw this object in the air. It caught his attention. It seemed very odd, and he pulled over. This is a man who has already left his job site. He's afraid of an attack in Washington, which is the reason he's going home out towards Hagerstown. He's made the wrong turn on the highway, and now he sees this weird thing, so he pulls over on the side of the highway to look at it. Sam Danner is, according to what I've read about him and also what he's told me, is a ham radio operator, an electrical engineer by training, and he has pilot experience. So he pulls over, and then he sees this object coming from the south, and he gets a good look as it's coming on at him. He's like facing to the south, to the west, and he sees this object coming at him from the southwest, and he got a good look at it. And he has described it to me, you know, as I said.
All right. Anything else, Chris?
Yeah, I do have a couple of other questions.
Sure.
Have they identified the witnesses that were interviewed by the press on the day of the attack?
Well, yes, there were the press reports from the Pentagon, if you mean yes. I remember there was one guy from the USA Today, one of the editors from USA Today came out and said, you know, well, it was an American Airlines plane, I could read it and this and that. That's rather odd, because if the plane is coming, you know, going past you at 400 miles an hour, it would be a blur. It would be a blur. The only way you can get really any view of it is if it's coming at you, like what Sam Danner said. So he got a couple seconds to look at it rather than just the very brief passing.
That was an actual editor for the press?
Oh, yeah. You'll see these, you know, various reports that were printed. And what's interesting is that... one report, I think it was in the Washington Post, one of the people who got a view of it said that it looked like a small passenger plane that held between 8 and 12 people. And yet when that was repeated later on, they deleted that. They deleted what he said about the size being, holding 8 to 12 people.
Has Danner tried to identify himself in any of the pictures of the people scouring the lawn for parts?
That's a good question. We've sent, Eric has sent some of the pictures that he has of these people scouring the lawn and asked if Sam can identify himself. That hasn't happened yet. I haven't heard whether he has identified himself. And, you know, this is one of the things we want to try to establish with our witness, Sam Danner, if there's any way that he can establish his credibility. Because, of course, there's numerous skeptics out there. And
well,
I am.
I hope you're not being Dan Rathered.
No, I mean, I'm just skeptical of, you know, I just want to be, you know, be prudent.
And has the FBI interviewed Mr. Danner before or since he has gone public with his story?
No. From what he's told us, he has not been interviewed by those people. He has not been interviewed. And he does identify, however, in the lengthy audio tape that's on Eric Hirschman's site, he does identify... one person that was on the lawn that day who works at the Pentagon, he says it's Erkstein, E-R-K-S-T-I-N-E. He spells out that individual's name. So he does name some people who he says were on the lawn, who asked him questions, and he read the guy's badge and said it was a guy named Erkstein. So he does give some evidence to corroborate his story that he was on the Pentagon lawn that day.
Why didn't he approach them immediately after it happened and said, hey, I saw the plane and describe it to
them? We talked about that earlier.
But that's a good question. It's like, but why haven't any of the other people come forward? Why are the eyewitnesses so few, so far and few between?
Do they have any photographs of body parts?
No.
Or any of the...
any more than they found body parts at Shanksville. I mean,
right. I mean, the coroner in Shanksville said he told us he stopped being a coroner after 20 minutes because there were no body parts. And the same thing with our friend here, Sam Danner, who has an EMT background. He was looking for wounded and bodies and things, wreckage, and he found none of it.
Do they have actual DNA samples of all these people?
They went around to their families afterwards and asked for DNA. That's what I've seen reported. But it's important to understand that the actual DNA analysis that was done of the body of Shanksville, for example, was done at Dover Air Force Base by two FBI guys.
Okay, hold that thought. We're up against the break. Hold on, Chris, in Chicago. We'll be right back with Christopher Bolin right after these brief messages.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Headline news. The much-anticipated bird flu pandemic. Whether you consider it dangerous or not makes no difference. It will still be the reason to confine and restrict travel. Conclusion. If we can't feed ourselves locked down at home, Homeland Security will be forced to bring us to gathering centers. Remember Katrina and the Superdome? The World War II bomb shelters in England. And the concentration camps throughout history. They were all huge disease incubators infesting confinees with dozens of life-threatening illnesses. Even if the wimpy little bird flu can't get you, the camps and the immunization will. If the government says store some non-perishable food, you know we'll need a lot. Decide how many years of food your family needs and get it before it's gone or can't be transported. Remember, folks, bad food plans are life-threatening. Call the co-op at 800-409-5633 for warnings and guidelines. That's the J. Michael Stevens Group, 800-409-5633, or on the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
Axiom, The Second American Civil War, a new novel by T. Edward Allen. Through corruption, greed, and incompetence, the neocons have brought the world to the brink of World War III. John Carter and his family are caught in the middle of a terrifying plunge into chaos. When the world economy collapses, America is brought down with it. The focal point is the ideological conflict between progressives and conservatives. And when civil war breaks out, Americans find that every axiom they took for granted has been overturned. Dangerously political and thought-provoking, T. Edward Allen takes readers on a wild ride and a glimpse into America's future with madmen at the helm.
Buy Axiom at www.axiom-thenovel.com. That's axiom-thenovel.com or find it at amazon.com. Get in on the buzz. Purchase your copy. Axiom, The Second American Civil War by T. Edward Allen.
All right, we are back. Chris in Chicago, you're asking some poignant questions. Do you have any more questions for our guest?
If you'll indulge me, I do.
Sure.
It's not your obligation to answer this question, but why do you suppose that they hit the Pentagon, and why did they make so many numerous attacks which would leave potentially so many unanswered questions and evidence behind? Do you think perhaps they were concerned that the attacks on the trade centers would fail and they had to have other things, or?
Good question.
Good question. I think that the Pentagon attack, you know, it was all being redone. That was the refurbished part of the Pentagon that AMEC had just done, the company that actually did the cleanup at the World Trade Center and the remodeling of Building 7, a British company. But I think that they did the attack on the Pentagon. My thinking is that that attack, of course, was investigated by the Department of Defense. It was a very closed shop operation. So, you know, if they had struck the Capitol or some other building, it would have been a much more intense investigation, much more open. But because the Pentagon, being the Department of Defense, they controlled the investigation. So, I think that's it. And it's the fact that these computer systems that have been the most compromised since Bill Clinton became president are the government and the military computers. This is a very important point that needs to be reiterated and understood, is that the Israeli military intelligence has full access to our military computers. And they have had since the mid-90s.
But that in itself is a whole other.
Yeah, it is. But, Chris, the one thing I was thinking as Chris was responding to your question is that this would further legitimize anything that the government wanted to do, because if you talk about the World Trade Center, that's a civilian target. If you're talking about Shanksville, wherever this thing was supposed to end up, I mean, it augured into and it hurt some ground up there. That was it. This was a military facility, the Pentagon.
And it got the military mad.
Yes.
Fighting mad.
Yeah. So if you want to carry this thing forward with a full force and a bunch of people that are angry, they're attacking us. You know, it's one thing to kill civilians in a civilian target, but it's another thing if they attack the military.
Like Pearl Harbor.
There you go. There you go.
But we have to remember that virtually every war this country's been in since the 1800s has been instigated and fueled by some sort of atrocity like this. The sinking of the Maine, the Lusitania, Pearl Harbor, what have you. It's always been that way.
Gulf of Tonkin. How soon after the plane struck the Pentagon did they identify it as a 757 and the specific plane? And do they have a means, do these planes have homing or tracking devices on them that they would have picked up as it approached? And is there any means of incapacitating those?
That's a lot of good questions.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah, I don't know, but of course we do know that these planes can be outfitted with this basically Global Hawk technology, so they can be flown and flown directly remotely. We know that. This is an old technology.
Did you ever obtain a substantial answer to your question as to what happened to the missing Global Hawk? I believe you said there were seven and one had gone missing.
Yeah, that's a very good question. I have been, because the Global Hawk theory is one that I developed a great deal in 2002, 2003, I was in extensive contact with Sue Baker, who I just learned today passed away in 2004. She was a spokesperson at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base for the Global Hawk program. And I gave them a lot of questions. Almost every month I spoke to them and said, but they never responded. They never responded. And they never gave me significant answers. And that's why I turned my attention to them again, to the people at the Pentagon and the Air Force people and the Wright-Patterson Air Force Base people. I actually visited the Wright-Patterson Air Force Base and knocked on the doors. But, of course, you know, they have a stone wall up against the public.
And one last question. Do you recall what the sequence of the attacks was? The first plane hit, then the second plane hit, then the Pentagon was struck?
Yeah. It's basically like that. The first, you know, South Tower, North Tower, South Tower, Pentagon, Shanksville.
So the Pentagon had loads of time to prepare for any potential attack.
Oh, well, yeah, sure. They had, from 8:45 was the first, they had 45 minutes.
And the planes were all reported as having been hijacked.
Whoa.
They knew there were more potential.
No, but that's the thing. The normal device, the 7500 code, I think it is, that the pilot can the trigger to warn ground control that he has been hijacked. None of the planes did that. That's one of the fundamental questions. So why is it that if these planes were in fact hijacked, did none of the pilots issue hijack alerts?
Well, one of the questions I have, Chris, is that Donald Rumsfeld was supposed to be in the Pentagon on the opposite side of the Pentagon. How much did he know of this, and why was he still in the building?
That's a very good question, John. That's a very good question. That gets to the testimony by Transportation Secretary Mineta, because Mineta came to the Presidential Emergency Operations Center before the Pentagon was hit. I think he had about that 9:20 in the morning he was there. And he's the one who testified before the commission that he saw Dick Cheney in charge. And Dick Cheney was tracking this plane coming in. It's 50 miles out, 40 miles out, etc. And then the assistant asked the vice president, do the orders still stand? And Dick Cheney turned around and shouted at him, yes, they still stand. And the weird thing is that, of course, Dick Cheney and Don Rumsfeld are very, very old friends, going back to the 60s.
Right.
Now, why would Dick Cheney have not picked up the phone and called Donald Rumsfeld if there's a plane coming in to Washington, D.C.?
And said, duck, yeah.
Exactly.
Hey, Chris in Chicago, thank you for your call. We've got to go to break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Gold.
world, ever climbing as the dollar continues to spiral into a free fall. How long before it hits rock bottom? Between 1800 and 1913, the value of the dollar was more or less constant. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, the value of the dollar has depreciated 97%. Due to global inflationary policies and the continued erosion of the U.S. dollar, gold and silver are still in the early stages of the greatest bull market the world has ever seen. Whether you purchase precious metals to stabilize your portfolio or you're looking for strong growth, gold and silver will provide you with both. Don't you owe it to yourself to do business with Republic Trading Group? Call us today and become a part of the raging bull in gold and silver. 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898. Call now. 1-800-691-7898.
Introducing the world's best air purifier. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does in cleaning and purifying the air in your home. Pet, cooking, cigarette, or even cigar smoke is no problem for this air purifier. It's so powerful, it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. There are no moving parts to break, no plates to clean, and no filters to replace. Call 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Or visit the website now, www.aranair.us. That's www.aranair.us. Again, www.aranair.us.
Everyone agrees our children are the future leaders of this great nation. How can we expect the founding values of our great republic to continue with future generations when these same values are being phased out of the government-run school system? There is a solution. The Little Red Schoolhouse Project, a community-based school system founded by Dr. Jake Wade to provide a biblical and constitutionally based education for our children. Help us prepare the next generation in our fight for freedom. Ask us how you can help by writing to Providence Christian Academies, 280 Tenny Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616, or by calling 512-398-4833. Once again, that is Providence Christian Academies, 280 Tenny Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616. Support your local Little Red Schoolhouse. Call 512-398-4833 and ask how you can help ensure no student is turned away.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show.
So many questions and not enough answers. You know, during the break, Chris, I was talking with some of the staff here at the network, and they were telling me that, well, it looks like the situation with the 9/11 movement is being targeted. People are jumping off into other arenas. Now, I can think of nothing that's going to be more dangerous because you've been writing for a long time. You know the problems here in this country. And I don't give a hoot and a holler whether it's the Fed Reserve and the privately owned banking system we have. I don't care if it's income tax. I don't care if it's 9/11. Because once you start removing these cards from this house of cards from the base, it's going to fall. I don't care how it happens or how it comes about. It's a non-issue of which issue hits the burner and ignites the American people. I don't care. Because the end result of this is going to be, well, if they lied about that, what else are they lying about? And this is to the brain dead people out there that are sitting in la la land, thinking that as long as they got a few beers in the refrigerator and their cable's still hooked up, everything is just fine with the world.
Well, John, they lie about everything. And that's the thing that, you know, I learned, I've always been kind of skeptical, but, you know, growing up in the Vietnam era, and then also my experiences in Europe and seeing what happened over there with, like, this Estonia ship being sunk, and completely covered up with 852 people on the bottom of the sea, I realized that countries do things in which their citizens are sacrificed for, you know, ulterior motives. And when you know, Flight 800 went down off the coast of New York, I attended those final hearings, and I saw how that NTSB final hearing was just one lie after another. And so when this happened, I'm a natural skeptic. When you know, I was in New York City that day, and we wound up fleeing across Pennsylvania trying to get back to Chicago, because I thought the country was under attack, just like Sam Danner.
Well, and I have not talked to this man myself, but I have talked to a lot of people that, you know, they kind of knew there was something a little bit wrong, but they weren't quite sure. They weren't going to speak out because, you know, it through the mainstream radio talk show host out there, the not-so-cloaked neocon supporters, George Bush lovers, whatever, you know, if it makes anybody feel any better, I didn't like Bill Clinton any more than I like George Bush, but Bill Clinton didn't do what George Bush is doing right now.
Right.
I mean, and I believe, by the way, the Doug Thompson thing, I never spoke to you about this Capitol Hill Blue, where he actually had people that were in the White House when Bush went on his tirade and called the Constitution just a GD piece of paper. I mean, Chris, it's striking me, and I'm watching the politics being played. And I'm not talking specifically here about 9/11. But I'm talking about George Bush and all the atrocities this man is committed and still committing, in my estimation, as occupying the White House and pretending to be president.
Right.
It doesn't matter to me. I want an honest constitutional republic back. I don't care who's sitting in the White House. But I'm seeing a lot of the Democrats that seem to be spineless and disorganized unto themselves, that we saw this thing come up that, oh, George Bush should be impeached. Well, we don't need to play politics on this, you know, and the Democratic Party, if and I can see what's going to happen. I mean, the pundits, the talking heads are already saying it. Well, the Democrats are looking weak on the war on terror. Well, no, they want us out of Iraq. They want us out of Afghanistan. But what about that war on terror? And then immediately all the people that you would think that would stand up and say, well, you know what? If they lied about Afghanistan, they lied about September 11th. What, you know, what else are they lying about here? This is, in my thinking, if I were in the political game, this would be a perfect opportunity to literally smash the Republican Party, just to bring them down to their knees, and we'd have a Senate full of Democrats and a House full of Democrats. We'd have a load of them.
Right. Well, that's what they're going to do. That's what it's shaping up to be with these films about 9/11 that are coming out in the summer and the fall, is that I think they're going to play this as a political thing, and they're going to try and get the Democrats to succeed in the fall, or to appear to succeed. Of course, it's all done by electronic voting machines, so nobody's watching any vote counts anywhere, which is the fundamental problem.
Right.
But I think that's what they're going to do, and they're going to say, well, the Democrats, you know, didn't do this, didn't do 9/11. But one has to remember, John, that the fundamental problems that allowed 9/11 to happen were put into practice, were established under Clinton's watch.
Right. And this is what people don't know. They think that they know, but they really don't know anything.
And we have to remember that Bill Clinton and Papa Bush are extremely close friends.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. And I still say a lot of people contend that it's Dick Cheney that's actually president of the United States. Well, he's got the contacts, but I still think it's his daddy that's running the White House.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah.
And the thing is that this Bush gang and the Clintons are together in this, and this is one big criminal network. And it's if you look at these, I mean, these stories about MENA, Arkansas, and the drug running, I think this is all true. But, I mean, what we have in the state of Israel and the state of the United States and in other places is that we have gangsters running our governments.
Yeah.
And they have put themselves into position by fraudulent elections.
Well,
if we had honest, proper elections, we wouldn't have this kind of government.
Well, just take a look at what just happened in Mexico.
Yeah.
Here was a supposed leftist, and I got to tell you what, if I've got a choice between a neocon supporter of a president of Mexico like Vicente Fox was versus some leftist that wants to pull back from the United States, I'll take that leftist any day of the week.
Sure.
Cesar Chavez, same thing. people, the person asked me one day, well, it wasn't on air, it was by a phone call, says, well, you know, it sounds like you're supporting the socialist regimes out there. No, right now, I'm for anybody that wants to pull out of the free trade area of Americas, that want to pull out of this worldwide cabal.
Amen.
And as much garbage, and if we can throw the proverbial monkey wrench into that with these supposed leftists of these countries, so be it. We had years and years and years of the communists versus the United States. You know, hey.
Well, like what happened in Italy when Prodi won over Berlusconi. You know, I think that I haven't been to an Italian election, but I think they probably have proper elections down there, at least where the citizens have some oversight of the vote counting process. And, you know, Berlusconi's history, although he went, you know, kicking and screaming, and they got in Prodi in power, and Prodi's the guy that says we should never have gotten in this war in the first place.
It continues. It just goes on and on and on. Bob in Michigan. Thanks for holding, Bob. You're up.
John.
Yes.
How are you?
Good.
I have a real problem.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to change the format of your program or your station considerably, because every time you start talking about this problem, you fall off the face of my computer.
Oh, really?
Yes. Three times you did that to me today. Look, you're going to have to do grandma's recipes or something. No, seriously.
So you're saying that I had three specific drops on the internet feed?
At least on my computer.
Okay. Are you high speed or are you...
High speed.
Okay. Well, there's a problem.
Yeah, I know.
Well, and,
so,
and from...
get to grandma's recipes and forget all this... conspiracy stuff.
I'm sorry.
Seriously.
Yeah. Hey, Chris Bolin, do you have any recipes for cookies? Maybe they'll bring us back up.
I'm on a simple pay phone. Check with three times.
Yeah. Did you hear that caller?
Check with Hillary. Check with Hillary. She's got great cookie recipes, I hear.
Hey, Bob, did you hear what Chris Bolin just said?
No.
He said he's on a public phone and he's got cut off a couple of times already. How does that happen? So
hey,
don't feel pregnant, or I'm sorry, picked on.
I hear you. I love your, just love your station. You guys are fabulous.
Well, and you know what? With the proper support of all the listeners out there, we're going to get bigger and badder. They're going to have to come and club me over the head and shove me into some concentration camp to shut me
up. That's my fear. I'm telling you the truth.
You know what? If that does happen, I know that I've hit them hard. And that gives me an opportunity because at that point in time, my friend, I'll be in a target-rich environment.
Yes, you will.
Yeah. All right. Bob, anything else?
Hey,
yeah.
Yeah. Couple things, actually. How many people were in the World Trade Center?
They say right around 3,000. I think it's, what, 2,800 and something? Chris.
Okay.
That's how many died. Yeah.
Okay. How many people were on the planes?
Oh.
A couple hundred altogether.
Yeah. None of these planes were, I think, over 30% capacity, and these were all transcontinental flights.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. What's about 40, 50 miles east of New York City and Washington, D.C.?
My geographic stuff had just wiped out of my mind. I don't know. Tell me.
It's called the Atlantic Ocean.
Yeah.
My feeling is the planes were remotely dumped into the ocean.
Well, there's one thing that we there are certainly satellite photos that would put all this matter to rest. But we have to remember that the National Reconnaissance Office was shut down on the morning of 9/11 after the first plane struck the towers. And in Chantilly, Virginia, they shut down. They sent all of the non-essential staff home. But the satellite pictures would set all these questions to rest.
Damn, that's awful inconvenient.
Awful, isn't it? Yeah.
Man,
mm-hmm.
The more I hear, the more I just want to... tear my hair out, and I don't have any.
Well, you know, what I've seen happen, and Chris, I wonder if you can speak to this. What I have seen happen, like with Dylan Avery's Loose Change, I had seen people that had a little bit of information there, a little bit of information here, but nobody sat down. And again, thank you, Dylan Avery, for not bringing politics in, and he specifically stayed away from that, which made that more effective. Since people viewed, I mean, this has been the number one viewed video on Google and all over the internet. He's given at least 100,000 copies of Loose Change 2 away.
That's fantastic.
It is. But my point about this is that people like Sam Danner and other people that knew maybe something wasn't quite right, but all they were getting was the constant pablum out of the mainstream media, that, you know, once you sit down and you watch these questions posed in the manner in which it was done, it's been a wake-up call for a lot of people, a lot of them. Chris, have you run into that?
So. Yeah, and it certainly was a wake-up call for Sam Danner. But you see, the average person is not so inclined. They get the government version, they heard the version on CNN, and they have a tendency to believe it.
That is a shame. All right. Hey, Bob, thanks for your call.
Hey, John.
Yeah. Yes, Bob. Is he still there? Or did his phone drop now? Okay, he's gone. All right. Sorry about that, Bob. Looks like your phone is screwed up, too. At any rate, Jeff in Vermont. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, John. Hey, Chris. How you doing?
Hi.
Hello. I just want to say you guys are doing a good job and everything. And it's last couple of weeks, I go to the bars, hang out with my friends, go to parties and stuff. And you wouldn't believe how many people are onto this. It's amazing, you know. I talk to my friends about this all the time, and they know my political views and stuff, and they respect it, and they have different points of view about it. But there's one thing that we have in common is that 19 people at the government say that hijacked those planes could never, ever have pulled this off without some sort of help from something, and the government fails to admit that those guys had any help, and they won't even, you know... And I get my friends to do the research, you know, find out, you know. And one thing that we're trying to find out is we want to get profiles on all the 19 hijackers that were supposed to be. I know they weren't involved in it, but they don't release anything about those 19 people whatsoever, you know, other than like birth dates and where they're from and stuff of that nature.
I don't even think publicly they've responded to what we have said about the nine hijackers, at least nine hijackers that are alive and well on planet Earth right now. They've said nothing about that either.
It just seems like the government has a far, far bigger conspiracy than we would ever even try to come up with, you know?
Well, and here's a question, Jeff. It's a conspiracy, all right, but how deep is it? Some people contend, well, it's the same kind of thing that happened with JFK. That there were only rogue elements with inside the government that did this. But when you look after post 9/11, 2001, you see the complicity in a cover-up.
Mm-hmm.
That is what I have a real problem with. So my question is how deeply is this rooted within our government? How many different agencies? The Pentagon. I mean, who all is involved in this? It has to be pretty massive to cover something like this up.
It's scary to think about. Hypothetically speaking, what if the mafia put this up? You know, we know they didn't, but if you look at the premise that they would use to execute something like this, there would be, you know, 100, maybe 1,000 people involved, you know, and there'd be a hierarchy of the people that, okay, you're flying the planes, but you're just a little schmion. That, you know, the captain would do it, then they'd have, you know, the godfather or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
But if you look at that as a premise, for the hijacking of the planes, there's got to be, even if the government is telling the truth, which they're totally not, there's going to be more than just 19 people involved.
Well,
you know?
not only 19, but you have to think about this. Why box cutters?
Exactly.
If I'm going to hijack a plane, I'm certainly not going to go on a plane with a razor blade.
And plastic knives.
and plastic knives. I am going to get weapons on board those planes. And even before September 11th, I was making statements to the effect that, look, and I was watching security being ramped up at these airports. This was going on long before 9/11. And to watch this, and I simply said to these employees, these TSA guys and all the cops they had hanging around, I said, look, why are you making me take my shoes off? Why are you doing this? If I am a terrorist or if I'm going to run an operation, I'm going to walk past you with a uniform, with an ID on. I'm going to pack explosives, guns, anything I need on any given aircraft. In any given time in this country, there's 5,000 commercial aircraft in the air. And they don't have the personnel or the wherewithal or the intelligence to track all this down. If I'm going to run a terrorist operation, I'm going to walk right through their own damn gates. I'm not going to walk through the passenger entrance, that's for sure. I tell you what, kill that break, Dan. Just kill it. Thank you. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot here. And why is New York City complaining? Why did we just have the other day, we had plans, these terrorists were going to blow up the Holland Tunnel and flood South Manhattan. And any school kid knows that water seeks its own level. But you know what happened? They got their funding cut by what? What was it, Chris? 40-50% for their terrorism funding in New York City?
Yeah.
So why not stage something to say, see, we need this cash. We need this money.
And it's all about the money.
It's about the control.
Exactly.
They've got all the damn money. Now it's about the control.
Yeah, you're right there.
By the way, Jeff, hang on to your friends because I don't know. I've never spoken to you before, but if they respect your political beliefs, you've got some good friends there.
Yeah, we do a lot of shooting. We have our own private gun club, and we just shoot all the time, and just drink some beer.
And I admire you from being in Vermont, where you can carry what you want when you want, and nobody can ask you any questions about it.
Yeah, I carry a 40 cal loaded all the time, and they don't even do a background check on you in this state. Crazy.
I am in envy of you, my friend. Okay, hey, thanks, Jeff.
No problem.
I appreciate your call.
Yep.
Let's roll a couple more calls here, and then we'll wrap up this edition of the National Intel Report. Carl in California. Hello, you're on with Chris Boleyn.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hi.
I'm becoming a very big fan of Chris Boleyn. I've heard him all week on the show last with Piper. I heard it a couple times. Man, he is impressive.
He's a pretty smart guy.
I can't believe him. As I listen to him more, he becomes more and more impressive. But I've also heard in the conversations, I'm not going to deal with any facts because it's already out there, everything. But this is my point or my question or my wondering. Another gentleman in this whole game is called Peter Lance, and I heard him say, he's very knowledgeable about all the Al-Qaeda, and I'm not sure if it's Al-Qaeda or whatever it is, but the point he brought up one day in one of these conversations over the months, nobody is going to get anything from these conversations unless some U.S. attorney steps up with his neck and his life and puts out an indictment. There is no place this can go unless there's some court action, unless there's somebody that is pointed a finger at, unless there's indictments brought up by U.S. attorneys. And if that doesn't happen, all of these questions that are all 100% correct or whatever it is will go nowhere, gentlemen, unless an attorney steps up with some indictments.
Very
good. Tell me about that.
Chris, I think he hit the thing right on the head.
Very, very, very good point.
Yeah.
He may have heard my conversations with Ellen Mariani and her lawyer. She's the 9/11 widow.
I did hear that. I guess that's our example.
Yes, and the thing is that then you probably, if you've read any of my writings about this, you understand that all 9/11 cases, all tort litigation, it goes through one judge at one courthouse in the Southern District of New York. His name is Alvin K. Hellerstein. And this process is the most restricted, non-injust system of justice I've ever seen. And furthermore, the American Trial Lawyers Association put out a moratorium. They sent out a system-wide moratorium, I think on the 13th of September, that no lawyers that are members of the ATLA should take any litigation against the government or the airlines, what have you. They should only help people go to the fund, take the government money. So, you see, by controlling the investigation under Michael Chertoff, by controlling the litigation under Alvin K. Hellerstein, That is how, that are, those are the chokeholds right there.
Well,
that is what's preventing this discovery that we need so badly.
And we saw indications of this, and I know you did the same thing as I, Chris, when they tried to install Henry Kissinger on the 9/11 commission. I mean, and that blew up. I mean, the internet just went crazy, and of course he had to beg out because he had conflicting interests.
Yeah.
That was the official story. But Carl, I'm in agreement with you. Until we can get somebody that said, you know what, I don't care if I am a federal judge. You know, let's have a federal judge that doesn't have a family, that can't go and kill his dog or whatever the case may be, and is fed up with all this corruption says that,
well,
hey, I'm going to accept this case and we're going to roll with it.
And somebody's got to present it, too.
Yeah, that's true.
Right. Can I say, ask one more question of Chris Boleyn before?
Yeah.
I've been trying to get this to him for a long time. About 3 weeks ago, there was three people killed in the parking lot in the U.S. Capitol, in the Congress parking lot. They say they're federal, they're British and French agents. I loved him to get the story on that. You know what I'm talking about, Chris?
That, yeah.
You know what I mean, Chris?
Yeah, I'll check into that. Is that a Tom Flacco story?
I'm not even sure. I just know that there was bombs or something like. I think there was two British agents and an agent and a French guy killed in the parking lot at Washington D.C. in the congressional parking lot.
Well,
why?
I've heard stories like that, but they just haven't panned out. There was a similar story about something of a shootout in the subway of Chicago, and it hasn't yet panned out. But
yeah.
I'll check into that.
All right. Okay, Carl. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Let's squeeze in one more caller. You'll have to be brief here. Well, he's gone? Okay. Well, he probably figured we were out of time. Good thinking, caller.
There's one important point I'd like to make about the security firms. Congress passed legislation protecting the security firms. They were all three foreign security firms, Globe, Argent Bright, and Huntley USA. And Huntley USA was the security firm at Boston Logan Airport. Now, it's important to understand that that was an Israeli-owned firm owned by a man named Menachem Atzmon, who is a convicted criminal in Israel and a very close political ally of the current Prime Minister of Israel, Ehud Olmert. And as I ask in my piece, is this a coincidence that the person who was overseeing passenger screening at Boston's Logan Airport is a close friend and political ally of Ehud Olmert?
Got to have your people in place if you're going to pull off a scam.
That's right.
Yeah. Coming up, I misspoke. Coming up next hour, it's the Piper Report with Michael Collins Piper, and Sam Danner is scheduled for that. So, folks, just hang in there. He'll be up hopefully within a few minutes. I hope that Mr. Danner is doing well. I'm going to listen to this broadcast myself. So we're out of time. My friend, I appreciate you doing what you're doing, and much success in the future, and hopefully I'll see you September 1st in Washington, D.C.
Thank you, John. You're doing a great job, too. Thank you very much.
Okay, I'll tell you what, if you would, hang on a second. My webmaster wants to speak to you briefly.
Sure will.
Okay, so just hang on. Thank you. All right, folks, that'll do it for us today. We'll be back with you tomorrow with another edition of the National Intel Report. One thing that I would say, that people that care about the 9/11 movement, what I would suggest to the people out there that are in the forefront of this, email them, call them, fax them, I don't care what it is, urge them to stay on point. This is way too big of an issue. We have a president that's acting as if he's the ascended king, and it thinks the Constitution, remember, is just a GD piece of paper. Dangerous times here in America. That'll do it for us today, folks. We'll be back with you tomorrow. We'll see you then.
The Bill of Rights protects every American's God-given right to keep and bear arms. Now that right is being seriously undermined as legally registered rifles are being confiscated in some parts of our country. If we're not careful, we may find ourselves with no right to own guns. And that's where Gun Owners of America comes in. Gun Owners of America is in Washington every day fighting for you to keep that right. Congressman Ron Paul has called GOA the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. You need to be part of this great grassroots group of activists who are keeping the heat on their members of Congress. Find out right now how you can join. Call 888-886-GUNS and get started receiving their fact-filled newsletters and action alerts. Call 888-886-GUNS or go to their webpage at gunowners.org and help make your voice heard in Washington. Make that call right now and call Gun Owners of America at 888-886-GUNS. Remember, it's not just about gun control, it's about control.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.